The Juju chatter's heating up again, and he's worth every bit of it.
In a world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Fine.
Yes, sir, we're back. Happy Tuesday. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Five, and we're going to talk, surprise, surprise, Juju Lewis. The chatter last night on Twitter and message boards and things started heating up again. Whether it was worth it, whether it's legitimate or not, he's worth every bit of it, and we're going to talk about that today. But let me tell you somebody else who's worth all the chatter, all the hype, and that is your boy Ford Stokes, with retirement results presented by Active Wealth. Look, you cannot find a portfolio analysis that would be just absolutely at no cost like you can get from Ford Stokes, carrying a retirement plan all the way out to your 95th birthday. You kidding me? And he does it absolutely free, and he loves Auburn. He's worth all the hype. So check him out at retirementresults.com/plan, not backslash. /plan, and you can get that portfolio analysis. He's got all kinds of products that a lot of times other financial advisors don't have access to, and just overall is a great guy. He's worth the hype, worth the chatter. Check him out, Ford Stokes, Active Wealth, and you can find him at retirementresults.com/plan, among many other places, but definitely check him out. Tell him War Eagle. All right, last night, cryptic tweets go out from players sometimes when commitments are close. And Alvin Henderson sent one out last night, and speculation went rampant. It was just a meme of, I think, one of the Barstool characters. I can't think of his name, the little guy holding some money and an Auburn hat, whatever. And then the hourglass, the time's ticking. And then obviously speculation went rampant as far as who it could possibly be. You got some possibility of commits coming up, but obviously anytime something like that comes up, it's gotta be Juju. It's gotta be Julian Lewis. And that's who most of the fan base will automatically assume you're talking about when they do stuff like this. So I'm starting to see a little bit of a faction of people sort of having Juju fatigue, maybe. And it's like, oh gosh, I would just wish we'd either A, move on, or it would go ahead and happen. This is sort of, it's killing us, or it's basically just, I think it's mostly just impatience and a little bit of fear that it may not happen, or, you want it so bad, but you don't want you want him so bad, but you don't want to like let it out that you want him so bad. So you play this defense mechanism game, but it's worth it. All of this is worth it if you land him in the end. And I think Auburn has positioned themselves really, really well to be there at the end. He has made it very clear that this thing ain't shut down yet. I think it's getting closer and closer every day to getting it shut down. And I like where Auburn sits at this moment. But to go back into him being worth it, okay, I hear people talk about, oh, well, you have Walker White, you have Hank Brown. Do you not have faith in them that they can get it done? I have faith that they can get it done. Why are we putting so much emphasis on Julian Lewis, Juju Lewis, going to get him when you already have these guys? Doesn't that show them that you don't have faith in them? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It has nothing to do with Walker White. It has nothing to do with your faith in Hank Brown. Do you know what Georgia just signed this year? Georgia just signed Jaden Rashada, a 5-star transfer cornerback, and a top 100 quarterback in the same class. Do you think signing one showed the other that they didn't have any faith in them? What about the quarterbacks they have on the other roster? Do you think it showed them that they don't have any faith in them? I don't really understand that. Like, in recruiting, in recruiting, you have to go get the best player you can get every single year. And it's even at a higher premium now with the transfer portal. Because if someone doesn't get on the field right away, or if the right NIL deal under the table gets offered, they can leave. So if you leave a gap, if you lose one of those kids to the portal, that gap gets even wider. So you have to – it breeds competition. It's your rivals, it's a new slate for every recruiting class. You're going to try to get the best player at that position every single year. Should we just not recruit any wide receivers this year? We had the best wide receiver class that we've possibly ever had. Do you just not – do we not bring in anybody or really target? Should we move on from Caleb Cunningham? Because, you know, what I mean, you got Cam and you got Perry Thompson. You got Malcolm Simmons. Do you just not have any faith in them? You're going to bring in Caleb Cunningham? No. No. You go get the best players you can every year. Alabama, and again, the only reason I'm talking about them is because those are the two toughest got folks on your schedule. So if you want to be able to beat them, you don't have to copy them, but you at least, hey, maybe let's take a page out of their book and let's try to get to that level. Alabama has signed a top 100 quarterback for what seems like a decade every single year. They do not take a year off. They will get the best quarterback that they can possibly get every single year, and then let the chips fall where they may. Even last year, they brought in the kid that was committed to Washington. He's the top 100 guy. You have all these other guys that you have committed and on the roster. And you forget about this. They had the number one quarterback in the country committed to Saban. So even stacking up all those quarterbacks, you still were going to bring in the number one quarterback, Julian Sayin. And he obviously transferred. He flipped to Ohio State after Saban left. But the point is, especially at quarterback, you need to take one guy every single year. You pretty much have to take a guy every single year, because more than likely you're going to lose at least one of them. And then again, you breed competition, you push your room, you make your room extremely talented, and then you can just sort of have a little succession plan, you know, where, hey, this guy's going to play a couple years, this guy's going to play a couple years. And just that's how you see these teams continue to reload, because they just – When one goes out, the next one steps in. The next one steps in, and they're just as good as the one prior. You have to continue to go get the best every single year, even at quarterback. Even at quarterback, I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to sign. If you get Julian Lewis, you know what they're going to do in 2026? They're going to go bring in another quarterback. And you know what they're going to do in 2027? They're going to go bring in another quarterback, the best one that they can get every single year. And if one of them, you know, quarterbacks, if one of them transfers, if one of them turns out to just not be SEC level, you're going to have a little gap there. You can fill with a portal, whatever, but you're going to continue every single year to bring in a quarterback. So you got to get that mindset out of it. Bringing in Julian Lewis means absolutely nothing towards Auburn's faith in Walker White or Hank Brown. Hank Brown's 6'4", 200 plus pounds. Walker White, 6'3", 220 and can run. Okay. They got all the physical tools. They are honestly more physically impressive right now than Juju Lewis. So like they have the tools to beat him out. It's not a matter of you feel like you need to have Juju to come in and then be the savior year one. I mean, he is a if he does, I think it means he's just incredible. But he's also younger than the typical kid in his class because he reclassified. So thinking that kid is going to come in day one and just take over, and you're bringing him in to replace the guys in front of him, I think is not very, if you're really thinking about the situation, I don't think it's very, it's not very accurate. And it's not like really, really thinking about how you build a college football roster. It's just sort of like a reactionary. Again, I think it's a defense mechanism. I think it's the Auburn fan defense mechanism. You're sort of trying to trick yourself into being okay if you were to lose Julian Lewis. Well, I wasn't crazy about him anyway, you know. So that's why it didn't hurt me so bad, because I wasn't that, you know. I believe in Walker White and I believe in Hank Brown. Well, so does everybody else. But you got to bring in the best player every year. Your rivals do it. Everyone across the country does it. You don't ever really need to take a year off of quarterback. You just don't, unless it's just. Unless maybe the talent pool is bad and you feel like you can put those funds elsewhere, but there's some really good quarterbacks in this class, with Julian obviously being the best of the bunch as far as, you know, multiple ranking sites. As far as what multiple ranking sites say, he's the best player in the best quarterback in the class and the best player in the class on a couple of sites. So definitely worth going to get him. It doesn't mean anything towards your feelings of the quarterback room in general in 2025 and beyond. It means absolutely nothing. And there's a very good chance that Hank Brown or Walker White could beat him out in 2025 for the starting role. As a matter of fact, I would almost predict that that would happen. I would predict that they would be ahead of him and he would have to at least wait that 1 year and see what happens after that. So got to shake that little mindset. You got to bring in the best player every single year. Another reason why it's worth it is the domino effect that could be caused by adding Julian Lewis to the class. Okay, what do I mean by that? A lot of kids are waiting to see where this kid goes. There is a ton of folks that are very influenced by playing with this kid, okay? Wide receivers, running backs, defensive players. There's guys that love this kid, that know that they feel like he's special and want to just be a part of the team that he's on, okay? So that's another reason why he's worth this extra effort. He's worth waiting a little bit longer, being patient, because I'll tell you right now, You get Juju Lewis, you're getting Caleb Cunningham. Caleb Cunningham, two of the best friends I think he has had in this recruiting process is Alvin Henderson and Juju Lewis. So if you get Juju Lewis, now you got both of them. Caleb Cunningham pretty much would lock him up. You get Caleb Cunningham and you get Juju Lewis, you're looking at guys like Usman Khroma. It could put you over the edge with a guy like that. Now you have your number one wide receiver on the board. You have your number one running back on the board. You have your number one quarterback on the board. And then, you know, hey, Derek Smith, look what we got now. We have we got a quarterback to throw to you. We got a running back to take the pressure off of you. We got another number one outside guy that can take that part of the field and sort of you know, put the pressure on that part of the field. You get the other side and then y'all just go have at it. Offensive lineman, you're sitting there battling out with Stanford and Michigan for Andrew Babalola, five-star tackle. Now I have a franchise quarterback for you to protect. And then obviously, you know, and Andrew, your brother's at Tuskegee. You got the Georgia connect. You got the connection here, not the Georgia connection. You got the connection here. You got the number one quarterback. You got wide receivers. The domino effect that could play into this is massive. It's honestly like almost a, no matter what his NIL number is, it's almost like a big market. I mean, it's the marketing that comes along with somebody adding a kid like this is absolutely massive. You're talking about big brands that are going to want to get involved with this kid. You're talking about, other players that are going to want to get involved with this kid. I just think he's worth every second that you have of energy that you have to expend, whatever that word is. How much he's worth every drop of energy that you have to put into to get this guy. He's worth it. I mean, players are going to want to play with this kid. Then defensive guy, we haven't even really talked about defensive guys. And then on top of that, Carrollton is loaded. Carrollton is loaded with young guys. I mean, there's 2026 guys that are going to be extremely highly rated. You got Zealous Hicks, who's a five-star safety. Then you have in 2027, I think there's a couple of wide receivers that are incredible that are on that team. Carrollton in general puts out great talent every single year. It's just the domino effect that could come from this kid is unreal. Okay. I'm not overhyping that. I'm telling you, you get this kid, you're going to see an absolute avalanche of dudes that are going to come after him. They're going to come with him and come right after him as far as joining this class. And you get him in, you could have an explosion at Big Cat Weekend. Your Big Cat Weekend goes through the roof from a reporting standpoint, publicity, everything. What you want out of Big Cat Weekend, it happens if you can get this guy. That's why it's so very much worth it. Another thing I hear, man, you just dedicate so many NIL resources to one player. You know, you're locked in. And what if he doesn't work? What happens if he's not the number one player? What if he doesn't work and then he transfers? Do you want to put that much risk in a guy like that? Let me tell you why. The answer is absolutely yes. And it's because of what I just listed, the domino effect of the players that will come to play with this kid. I believe he's going to be elite. I believe he's going to be a very great college football quarterback. He's already extremely dominant at a young age at the highest classification of football in the state of Georgia. He's been just destroying competition in the state of Georgia. And Georgia, in my opinion, is maybe top three as far as the level of football in the country. I mean, there's some schools out in Texas and some schools out in California that would be tough, but I put Georgia right behind that. Georgia is just absolutely loaded. And if you can dominate at the top level, maybe Florida, those four, I think, would probably be some of the best, some of the top end talent at the highest classifications. Okay. So he's been dominant there. I think it's going to translate into college football. But let's say he gets hurt, or let's say that, you know, it just doesn't quite work out and he transfers. The domino effect part is what makes that worth it. Okay. And also, if he, you know, heaven forbid, he were to transfer, you don't have to continue to have those resources dedicated to him elsewhere. So that frees up, obviously, that, you know, whatever that number is, to spread out amongst continuing to build the roster. And then it's not like, you know, if you're winning, it's not like everybody else is going to leave and go with him. Okay. You may lose a player or something that may want to go wherever he goes. But once they're here, you feel good about player retention as far as the ones that you want to keep. Okay. So if he were to, it's almost like a no risk scenario. It's really a no risk scenario. You bring in Julian Lewis, other people's price tags go down because they want to play with him. And then if it doesn't work out, heaven forbid, you just move on to the next guy and you've brought in all these dudes, all these big time athletes that are happy being here. And you continue to build. So like it's no risk whatsoever. There's no downside other than if you don't get him. But again, I think this thing's coming to a close, and I think there's still plenty of time to pivot, and there's plenty of time to get someone in the class. It would just make this class a lot tougher to get to that top five level if you do miss out on a Julian Lewis. So we'll have to see how it shakes out. For some reason, I don't know. I got this feeling that we could be, you know, within, you know, a week or two of having some sort of finality with Julian Lewis. Again, that's not intel. That's just gut feeling based off of, you know, certain things that I've been hearing, and then just knowing the timeline and how everything's got to work out. I think we're winding down, but it's been a fun ride and it's worth every bit of it. And you want to talk about making a huge, huge statement. Go ahead and get this kid. And you'll definitely be turning heads. So I think that's going to be it for today. Let's hang in there. Let's hang in there. Be tough. It's coming to a close. It's coming to a close. Dead period's tough, man. Dead period. This is where it separates. This is where it separates the men from the boys, is the dead period. So let's see what happens moving forward, Julian Lewis. And I don't know. I got a good feeling. And if it's ended up wrong, this episode will be live in infamy forever. And the comments will be a lot of fun. But if you enjoyed this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter at @_Charlie_5. And we're going to get back after it again tomorrow. We're going to be here for the 4th. We're going to be here for the day after the 4th. We're going to get after it. And I'm working on another cool guest that could be joining. So you'll have to stay tuned for that as well. Maybe he'll be here Friday. We'll see. But again, I really appreciate all the support. Appreciate all the listens, downloads, views, whatever. I enjoy chatting with you guys. So again, have a great day. We'll be back again tomorrow. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.